The Bizarre Cast contains adult themes and explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. I have with me, she's been talked about often, although she never actually hears it. It is the wonderful, the illustrious Maeve. Maeve, how are you?
Good,
today?
Thanks. I'm well.
Are you glad to be here in the same room for the 13th day in a row with me today?
Yeah, delighted. Not so happy to be doing the podcast, though.
Yeah, so of course, we're scrounging for guests here today, but I think it would be a nice idea to sort of have an audio diary of the quarantine that we've sort of been under down in Sydney the last sort of coming up on 2 weeks now, probably tomorrow, for myself, and just short of 2 weeks for you.
Yeah, I started working from home on Thursday, 2 weeks ago.
So probably many of you are also locked up in whichever country you're in. We have been probably taking the advice of the Irish government before the Australian government the last 2 weeks. They seem to be about a week behind on all manners of locking down. Anyone out there who's in lockdown just by yourselves or with family, love to hear how it's going on after this one. But just kind of want to go on how we found, first of all, the first week. What was our first week routine looking like, Maeve?
Yeah, so, well, the first week I was only working from home Thursday and Friday, so that was fine. It was still kind of normal enough because I work from home normally at least one day a week. And then the weekend was fine as well because we had some bits and pieces to do around the house and stuff. Then the second week was definitely harder. Monday was fine because it's kind of like, oh, at least there's something to do now because the weekend was a bit more quiet than normal. But then Tuesday was quite tough. It's like, oh no, how long is this going to go on for? And then kind of after that, by Wednesday, I felt like we kind of got into a bit of a good routine. And it's been easier than every day, like taking every day at a time then.
Yeah, definitely. Because going back to the first few days, it was actually the weekend before we were all working from home that we actually went to Adelaide because it was my birthday in the middle of March. And as per the last recording, I think there was only about 1,500 deaths worldwide, and it's fast approaching, I'd say, by the time this gets pumped out, be over 30,000 and nearly close to 800,000 infected. And I think I had less than 12,000 infected the last time. So this is obviously really ramped up. So as you can imagine, as it was coming up to Adelaide, we were sort of saying to ourselves, God, this is getting like way more serious. And do you want to give her experience of Adelaide and how things were progressing that weekend as we were going through the motions?
Yeah, so we were in Adelaide and we saw other parts of like South Australia as well. But obviously while we were away, we were watching to see what was happening around the world, and stuff in Europe was getting pretty serious, but it wasn't as serious or being taken as seriously in Australia at the time. But we still, pretty much every day of our holiday, were discussing what we do if the borders closed between the Australian states and we got stuck in South Australia, and just like what we do when we got back to Sydney, how could we prepare for like a lockdown, because we were obviously constantly looking to see what was going on in Ireland, and they were, as Richard said, about a week ahead of what we are here. So that was kind of our experience in South Australia. While we had like a lovely time, it was definitely a bit strange, and we were happy to get back to Sydney. But then it was just business as usual for another couple of days. We went back into work on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, so like as we were in Adelaide, we heard it was a small enough city to begin with. And sort of everywhere we went for like a coffee or lunch, it was like, oh, thank you so much. Like it really seemed, especially after the bushfires, like places in terms of tourism were just absolutely decimated. Like our now previous housemate, this is a lead on story as well. She thought that the whole of South Australia, which is a state, one of six states, was just completely burnt down, completely as if a volcano erupted and covered the place in ash. Sort of carry on. But going around the city, we went to like one of the famous open markets. It was dead. It was like walking around pretty much like a ghost town at that stage. So it was getting quite serious.
Yeah, but it was hard at the same time to tell the general vibe, or if that was a reaction to the coronavirus due to a general people in South Australia due to the bus fires, which had there.
Yeah, no, it was like back to back.
Yeah.
On these ones.
Yeah, so we were like in, we went to the Barossa, which is like a lovely wine region, and we were talking to people there. And being like, oh, how do you think this coronavirus is going to affect you now? And, you know, it was really sad because they were like, oh, we're still really hopeful. We'll have like a really busy Easter. And now, obviously, that's not going to happen. So it's really devastating for that region.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one. It was like whether this is just business as usual or Adelaide. But my sister then, not the same week, booked flights down to Melbourne for the following week, the week that we were going to be working from home. And I was imploring her, even as we were boarding the plane back to Sydney, just to cancel the trip, because by the time we were actually worried that we wouldn't even be able to get back to Sydney on that weekend. And then definitely the Tuesday going back to work, I was like, why am I on this commute? And I think by the end of the day, they had actually decided as a business to have me at home indefinitely, because I take public transport along with everyone else. And then they tried to do an alternate on off shift, and Maeve's office was doing that as well for all of about 2 days. Is that right?
Yeah, so when I went back in on Tuesday, I was on the first team, so I was meant to be working in the office for that full week, and then I'd be working from home the week after, and we'd rotate on and off to kind of limit people's exposure. But by Thursday, it was just horrible working in the office. It was so empty. You kind of felt like, why am I here? And other people are at home. Everyone was just really unproductive, just constantly talking about coronavirus and what was going to happen. So by Thursday, we were working from home indefinitely. So Wednesday evening, we were told to start working from home going forward. So that was, so you were already 1 day at home.
Yeah.
And then I started working from home as well.
Yeah, because it only took about an extra week for my office to turn around and say, actually, everyone's working from home. Because actually on that same day, I think it was the Wednesday or the Tuesday, I was called in to a meeting to say I had had tertiary contact with someone who had corona. This was actually before going to Adelaide, because someone who had got it was in a meeting with someone else. And then I was in that meeting. So it was a bit like I could have had it. And, you know, things get a bit psychosomatic. I think the first week at home I was exhausted, but that might have been just from the excitement. But it's very hard to tell now who's got the virus and who hasn't. It seems to be spreading very quickly. And I think just on a very provisional study, the Diamond Princess ship had like 80% of people who had it had no symptoms. So today, actually, in fact, we got our normal flu shots, so we can get that out of the way. And the pharmacist there was like, we're so bloody busy. Like, we actually managed to get in at like the perfect time. She actually just had a 5 minute slot for us. And yeah, so we don't want that flu. So it's hard to know the extent. And like, it seems every week they're adding an extra 8 weeks onto the quarantine.
Yeah, but I saw that today Italy had another depressant, so it does, like, in numbers, so it looks like they actually have flattened their curve, and it's about 2 weeks out from when they started their most severe lockdown measures.
Yeah,
so hopefully we'll start to see people coming out the other side, which would be really helpful for us in a place like Australia that seems to be a bit behind the curve. If we can look forward into what's happening in Europe and see people coming out the other side, hopefully.
Yeah, not to mention China at the minute is ramping up full scale again. And of course, the guys from some fella eating bat soup, shutting down the whole world, they're the ones supplying all the medical supplies now. So it's a little bit bittersweet to see things going back to normal, but China reaping the benefits of essentially what they started because of the wet markets.
Yeah, so we're on to our first day working from home together now. So do you want to take us through how that first 2 days went?
Yeah, so the first 2 days, as I was just mentioning, the housemates are now gone. They were two American students, and they disappeared back to Seattle on, I think, the Wednesday or Thursday. And we are still, as the time of recording, 31st of March, still by ourselves. The landlord can't seem to actually find anyone, which suits us down to the ground. To give you an indication of how the quarantine is going, we're actually having a really nice time together. But the kind of routine that we're doing, we decided that we'd have an actual commute in the morning just to actually have some semblance of discipline and routine in our lives right now, because who knows when they're actually going to stop you from walking down the streets. Hopefully it won't get to that you'll need a police escort to the supermarket or something, but it isn't that bad yet. So we just go for a walk to like our normal bus stop or our normal route. And I've had many different jobs in Australia, so there's many different commute routes we can do in the morning. And just getting up at the same time, showering, doing the usual. I think it's very important for anyone out there who's kind of falling out of a routine, just to sort of pick yourself back up. They always do say in all these self-helps and everything, like wash yourself, grooming. Literally get out of bed, grooming. Like it is very, very important, because I think there's been one or two mornings so far that we didn't go for a walk and we are like bouncing off the walls by about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I'd agree. So like every morning we get up at the same time. I still put on makeup every day because that's just my normal routine and it helps me feel like more normal. Then we go for like a walk, and then when you come back, it doesn't seem as claustrophobic to be like working in the same living room together. We're also lucky enough that we have a kitchen table and a desk, and I got a monitor from work as well, so we're kind of set up like a little office. We're not like up on top of each other working at like a coffee table, which helps as well. And then we always make sure as well for our lunch break that we take that on the balcony so that we get some fresh air. And then we've been trying to go for a little walk as well now at lunchtime, just if we have to get something from the grocery store or just get a takeaway coffee and go for a walk. Just so that you're not cooped up inside all day, because I wouldn't spend 8 hours in the office during a work day.
Yeah, exactly. And some people have sort of been getting on to me like, oh, why aren't you texting me back? Or why isn't this happening sort of thing? And it's kind of one of these funny, it's like a Schrodinger's quarantine box, if you want to call it. It's like, I'm so busy, I feel like I don't have a spare moment, but not up to much at the same time in the evening. So maybe would you feel the same about that?
Yeah, like we've been talking about doing this podcast for like a week now probably.
Yeah.
And just every evening by the time we've wrapped up work and we're making dinner and we do have some leisure time, and then we look at the clock and it's 10:30 and we're like, oh, well, that's another evening gone. Like time isn't really dragging too much, especially now that we have the place to ourselves so we can kind of just do as we please. And be a bit more relaxed. Time is kind of going pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's kind of 2 weeks into it, so I'd say we have like a good indication of how it's going to keep going. I suppose the main anxiety that we have, because it really can't get any worse in terms of like being locked up, because we're like more or less working from home now and all locked up as you can be. The only anxiety being, when is the landlord going to get two new people in? Because this is going to be the fourth set of people in 2 years now, less than 2 years. So yeah, it's kind of getting to the stage where if we get out the other side of this, we'll probably move out of here at some stage. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is our main anxiety, just because we've kind of got a routine now and a setup that we're very comfortable with. And then obviously when you have new people come in, it can throw up off the equilibrium to an extent, because they might be, for example, people who don't work different kinds of hours, who are just, you know, irritating to be around. So that's obviously like our main anxiety. And I think, yeah, like Richard said, this would be our fourth set of housemates when we do get new housemates, and all of our housemates have been different types of painful.
Definitely. So it's like the six circles of hell, because there's been six of them so far. It's been quite rough.
Yeah, so I think now we kind of did that when we first arrived, just to see if we'd meet people or just because we wanted to live in a certain area. But I think now that if we get out the other side of this, we're a little bit more established in Sydney, so we could probably strike out on our own and get our own place if we can find someplace that's in a good location for us.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's a bit of a strange one. Like, obviously, you can see that the landlord can't get anyone in because people might think that we have, like, corona or who's going to move. So it was sort of the three conditions I think we laid out of, like, if they're a student and they're moving, there's no college because they're shut in. If they're professional and they're moving, why are they moving? And they just must be mad if they are moving, because there is, to be fair, like, a lot of leases being broken now because there has been a mass exodus. And on the other end, we know people personally who had to come back from, say, the UK, who were Australian. So it's been crazy, like, all around the globe, people trying to get home. And we've heard of people getting stuck because they put in bans for anyone who wasn't a citizen or a permanent resident coming back in, that they
people
were
on holidays just couldn't get a flight from Ireland.
Yeah, because
they announced it and you had to be in Australia within 48 hours or else you couldn't get back in. And obviously it's a 24-hour flight from Dublin to Australia, so people got stuck in transit.
Yeah, and the announcement was, we'll say, in the evening, so you'd be asleep, so you basically have to do a 4-hour turnaround to get out, and lots of people got stranded. But then leisure time in the evenings, how are you filling those up?
Yeah, I suppose, like everyone else, we've become professional chefs over the last 2 weeks. So we're cooking a lot more, which is nice. We've been watching Australian Survivor, which sadly ended yesterday. So we won't be able to watch that anymore. And we've been heavily relying on the Nintendo Switch as well for entertainment. So we're playing Resident Evil at the moment, co-op.
Yeah, Resident Evil 5, for those wondering. You all know, if you're a veteran listener, that Resident Evil has a special place in my heart, and it's sort of where the name sort of came from originally for Resident Evil 4. And it's great to be able to play a Resident Evil with Maeve finally, because her sister as well, when they were growing up on the old PlayStation, had... Well, you can tell your own story there, Maeve. What's your Resident Evil story?
Yeah, when I was younger, we used to have a PlayStation 1. I was never very good at it, but my older sister used to play, and I used to love watching her play. And I remember very clearly her playing Resident Evil, because it scared me so much. So it was always a game that I really enjoyed watching her play. So it's fun now to be able to play it myself and enjoy it just as much.
Yeah, so there's lots of that happening. Yesterday we started... On top of the cooking, we're now virtual cooking as well. So Overcooked, it's like a fun little stupid game where you just run in a cartoony kitchen and try and make the meals for people on time. And it soon gets chaotic. I think it's actually more stressful than fighting zombies. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
So it was a bit of fun. Because what we are trying to do definitely with the cooking, for the first time ever, we made falafels. We actually had to run out and buy a food processor, which we didn't have before. And if I don't say so myself, were they the best ever that you ever had?
Yeah, they were definitely up there. We eat falafels fairly regularly, and I'll be eating them at home from now on anyway. They're delicious.
Yeah, because it is funny because obviously us being Irish, we kind of grew up with a very European focused like cuisine. Mainly like the kind of slap up dishes that would happen in Ireland a lot would be like pasta based to an extent. So a big Italian influence. Irish normal cuisine wouldn't be the greatest. Meat and two veg, like if you're more
traditional,
yeah, you'd eat those. So then obviously when we came down to Australia through Asia, obviously Asian food, Southeast Asian food, which was, you know, you might get your Thai takeaway or something in Ireland, but it's not actual Thai food. It's some sort of anglicized or Hibernianized version, if you will, for the Irish taste, which is usually like a 3-in-1, which is sort of like chicken curry, rice and chips.
And like sweet plum sauce, crispy chicken.
So there's not much happening by way of cuisine. So we live in...
Well, no, some of the Irish food is fantastic.
No, it is. Say, but that would be like French
modern
cuisine.
Irish food,
modern Irish, yeah,
but the ethnic food wouldn't be as good. It's still ethnic food over here.
Sorry, this is the clarification. Irish food is decent, it's good, but the ethnic Irish basically wouldn't be great compared to the actual thing.
or the ethnic food that's available here in Australia.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot more immigration in Australia, obviously, compared to Ireland.
Yeah, there'd be a lot more. There's actually very much like a huge Indian population, Pakistani population down here, and
Asian.
Like, we're pretty much in Chinatown, as I've mentioned before on the show. And the food here, when you actually get it, like, go out for dumplings, absolutely amazing. And it was sort of...
And cheap as chips as well.
Yes, it's very cheap. It's cheaper to go out to eat it than it is to get all the ingredients to make it.
Especially for Chinese or Asian food.
Yeah, because at home, like, home Ireland being, like, an Indian, they've somehow been classed as, like, really fine dining. Like, it's very, very expensive to get Indian food over in Ireland. But here, it's sort of as it should be, which is sort of street delicious food, or I don't want to say peasant, but it's definitely like accessible food, if that makes sense. Because obviously, like, there's a lot, it wouldn't be as affluent a country, so they need to be able to eat on the cheap. And there's a little borough here, like Harris Park, which is basically everyone like converted their
front rooms
into restaurants, and it's so good. Like, love going out there any other time we can. See, the actual food down here, I would say Australia doesn't do the best at exporting itself as like a real cultural hub, but geez, the food down here is like absolutely amazing, I would say.
Yeah, just the variety you can get really easy access to is really impressive. Just all the different countries, because of that large immigration population. So you have like places in Sydney that would be known for Indian food, Chinese food, Lebanese food. Like, there's loads of them. We haven't even managed to go to all of them. You can get, you know, Sri Lankan food, like all different types and all really high quality, because it's quite a competitive city for food, I would say. So if it's open and it's busy, it's going to be really good.
Yeah, so to wrap that around...
Unless it's in a tourist spot.
Oh, that's true. Don't go to the tourist places unless you want to go for like a nice drink overlooking the Opera House. But to wrap that around, we now are just trying to make all the food that we never would have made before, because it was very intimidating. And once you actually give it a go, you're like, hang on, if the man on the street in X country can make this, surely I can make it. And then we try it and it's absolutely... divine, most of the stuff we've been making lately.
Yeah, like, we've been making a lot of kind of Middle Eastern inspired food, and it's really simple to make. Like, it's not very skill heavy, and you also don't need to buy like a million different ingredients, which is always helpful. But now that our old housemates that we had were actually Chinese American and Japanese American, so when they were moving out, they had like heaps of Asian food. Do you know all those seasonings that you need, like oyster sauce and fish sauce, that we never bothered to get? So we've never really cooked Asian food. So we inherited all of that when they left. So hopefully over the next few weeks, we'll find the time to try some Asian cuisine, some Chinese and, well, potentially Japanese. And that would be like exciting kind of new thing to try to do.
Yeah, definitely. So that sort of fills up, like, you know, 1 or 2 hours of the evening, especially with something new, is to do the cooking. Anyone at home who's thinking like, oh, how will I fill the evenings, definitely just open up a cookbook, try something new. I know there's a run on flour. I know your brother-in-law Maeve is borderline crying because they have
7-year-old mother yeast that it looks like it might be at the end of the road because they don't have any flour.
Yeah,
so
it's sad times for baking enthusiasts like poor old Brian there. And another bit that we did, Coles, now the supermarket chain down here, they have like pizza kits, and dare I say as well, maybe we're just going insane because of the quarantine, but it's the nicest pizza in Sydney at the minute.
We're eating like kings.
We are, but at the same token, we're doing like home routines, exercise routines. Now, yes. Look, to be honest, last week we only did 2 days.
We've done 2 days so far this week as well.
Yeah, so it's not as if we couldn't go to the gym, because the gym is the bloody kitchen floor. No, it's not the kitchen floor, it's the dining room floor. So the commute to work is like getting out of bed and you're in your office pretty much. So there's no excuse. And it takes like less than 2 minutes. And I was like absolutely distraught yesterday. Like, I, Dad, if you're listening, I did your bloody routine, the 3 sets. So anyone who wants to do this, give me your high scores, right? I'll tell you what the routine is supposed to be. I'll tell you what I did. So you're meant to do 20 bodyweight squats, 20 leaping lunges, and then a press-up burpee by 20. And then you're meant to do that by 3, no stopping, right? So my dad said, if you find that too easy, you should up it to 25 reps. So I said, oh, done this before, no problem. So I started away. Maeve started before me. She couldn't do the leaps and stuff. So it was just doing lunges and squats, did 2 sets. So I was like, okay, now I'll do it. Went in.
No, wait. Before you say that, so I went first and Richard was aghast when I couldn't do the 3rd set. He said, come on, Maeve. And so, like, don't give up. And I was absolutely fucked. So so that's where he started off then, high confidence when he started his reps.
Well, do you want to paint the scene of what you saw me struggling through? No, you'll pass on that one. So did my 20 squats. I was like, absolutely no problem. Started doing the leaping lunges. I was like, ooh, enjoying this one. Really getting the burn. At about 10, I was starting to struggle, starting to wane. So started with the burpees. I think Maeve said the first 3 were quite decent. Actually nearly touched the ceiling. And then everything after that then looked like an old man trying to dry out his sheets out in the garden sort of thing. Just barely flailing the arms. I did 10. And then I went back in. Just squats. I was completely bent over, nearly like floor. I couldn't keep my back straight. And I couldn't do leaping lunge. I had to do normal lunges. Got to about 10. Absolutely on the struggle bus. And I was like, nah, I can't do the 3rd set. So that's my high score, guys. I need to see the stats. I need to see the videos. Send them in to the show after. Definitely love to see that. So I was like, this week, actually. And then we did some shoulders. We were getting very intuitive and, you know, resourceful in what we're using for weights. We're using like cans of beans and stuff for shoulder press, and it was good.
Yeah, we did that today. We got a bit of a burn off it, like yeah, we're just, because we were being pretty good before quarantine and before we went to South Australia and stuff, so we're just trying to not let everything go to hell. Just like, we've nothing but time, so we might as well spend the time cooking stuff that makes us feel good and doing bits of exercise and going for walks instead of eating poorly and getting depressed, basically.
Yeah, because I suppose another, you know, angle to what's been happening, especially like off licenses and everything, like they're about, I think, were you saying there?
They're up 125% of sales in Australia. Just people obviously turning to alcohol in times of like stress and uncertainty. So obviously we like a few drinks or whatever, but we're trying to have, you know, our good days vastly outweigh our like our days where we kind of take off and have a couple of drinks and stuff, you know.
Yeah, because when I was speaking to Chris in one of the recent episodes, like, just what else is there to do, only if you want to grab a beer at the end of the day? But it's kind of hard some days when all you have is time now. Like, you might just end up, because we have a nice balcony, it's actually lovely to sit out in the evening, watch the sunset, have a few beers, like, and it's way too tempting to do that every day.
Yeah, because normally on a normal week we'd probably have like plans like 2 or 3 days a week where we would be out of the house, but we wouldn't necessarily be going drinking. So we'd be, you know, for example, like we were doing pottery classes, or we'd go to the cinema, stuff like that. So you'd be kind of busy, so we'd only ever maybe go for drinks on like a Thursday and then like a Saturday. But you don't want to get into that slippery slope of, you know, it's 5 o'clock, so you like plant yourself in front of the TV because you're finished work, and you eat like whatever, a bowl of pasta, and then, you know, by 6 o'clock you're like, god, there's like 4.5 hours left in the night, what will we do? And you're like, oh, well, we just have a drink.
Yeah, and that's on a Monday, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, it's tempting, but I think what I haven't really expressed on the show lately, but definitely over the last 3 months, we sort of had like a renaissance in just health, like a lifestyle change. I wouldn't use the term diet because it's probably into our fourth month now, starting in April, because it was the end of November. Yeah, actually, no, we've done over 4 months now. So we just sort of reassessed where we're at. I think it ended up, since I came to Australia at the time, it would have been just over a year. I'd put up like, it was essentially nearly a kilo a month, which is actually crazy when you look at it, because it's, you know, every 2 weeks you're putting on half a kilo. For a full year, like, it was consistent, and it was just like, wow, we need to kind of change, the two of us, because it's much easier when you do it together. If I was eating salads and Maeve's eating hamburgers, it's like not really conducive to anyone doing it well. Would you agree?
Yeah, exactly. And we kind of looked and kind of looked at it as if it was a monetary budget, kind of like, what do we actually really value in our lives? And we were like, you know, we really like being able to have like beer one night a week, and we like to be able to go out to eat. So we don't really like having crisps when we're watching a movie at home, so we'll cut that. So we really kind of like evaluated it in that way, and now we're trying to like basically not go back to old habits. And I think it's kind of been affirming for us now in quarantine that we haven't taken that step back. We're like, oh, this actually was a lifestyle change, it wasn't just a diet, which is good.
Yeah, because again, like we were sort of saying at the start of last week, you know, how would we cope with quarantine? And it always comes back to, I know it's like very cliche and stuff, but like the warrior spirit of like being disciplined and having a routine, basically. So we've been like tracking our weight and everything. Like, we got a scales a few months ago, and that's very motivating, because there's a few occasions where
no hiding.
Yeah, there's no hiding. First thing in the morning, hop on.
And we tell each other, so there's accountability.
Yeah, so, you know, and it, you know, after like a big night at the weekend, you wake up and you're like 3 kilos heavier because of all the water. But that might actually take 4 days to come down again. So if you're sort of a few days back to back being terrible, you're actually punishing yourself for about 2 weeks. And that kind of happened maybe last week a tiny bit, but we're back on track now this week.
Yeah, last week was mostly just a hangover from Richard's birthday weekend, which I think is...
yeah,
excusable.
Yeah, of course. It's kind of been the birthday month, especially given all the lockdown. I think we're feeling a bit sorry for ourselves.
But we haven't gone backwards. We just haven't really made any progress.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
Which is good.
So that's kind of one other aspect, is like keeping healthy and trying to come out of our quarantine cocoon and be, you know, sucking in our cheeks and taking off.
Best shape of our life.
Yeah, best shape of our lives. So that's one other thing that we're doing.
And that also like makes you feel good, you feel motivated, and it actually does occupy like some mental space in like a positive way. Another thing we've been trying to do is to not watch the news constantly.
Yeah.
That's definitely really important as well. It's like kind of trying to occupy your mental space with like fun things or things that make you happier, that you're progressing and you feel good about, because you can just go into a spiral of doom and gloom so easily.
Yeah, because there's lots of stuff you'll see online of like positivity and mindfulness and everything like that, but sort of staying positive. I know maybe you had some thoughts on that, that you wouldn't really be like, you think that's a bit of a fallacy.
Yeah, I think on positivity that isn't underpinned in reality is actually really unhealthy for people. So I think that's why I'm saying these actionable things that we are doing, like being healthy, like meal planning, you know, doing exercise, like keeping each other accountable, that's like actually something to be positive about, because it's real. All this like, oh, this too shall pass, and like be positive, it's so fake that people are really fragile then if there's like anything happens, because they don't have anything underpinning us, would be how I would see that kind of like fake positivity and mindfulness, kind of nearly like a consumer culture of us.
And isn't that exactly how it is sort of gotten so popular, as all these, hate to say, but like, you know, the Facebook mom groups and staying positive and all that, that it is like the commercialized almost hope sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I think actual real positivity is something where you're like moving forward yourself, and it doesn't need to be anything like big massive things, but like, you know,
got out of bed.
yeah, getting yourself a tiny bit stronger every day. And that makes me feel positive. I'm like, I feel like, you know, I'm stronger. That's like something that I'm proud of every day. And that's something that it's measurable, it's achievable, and it's something that long term I can like work on. All this, like, you know, be positive for positivity's sake. I think it's really easy to say if you're in a positive place, but I think it like really quickly like falls away. So for that reason, I don't think it's actually helpful.
Yeah.
Because how this came up originally was you'd been listening to Joey Diaz, who had said, oh, be positive and it will all work out. And I was like, it was very easy for him to say that because it did work out for him. It's really unhelpful for him to say that to all the people who are struggling, because their positivity does nothing to change their situation.
Yeah, because don't want to get too down on this, because I just wanted to have a little diary on what we're up to. But obviously, you know, there is a lot of people losing their jobs or seeing pay cuts and everything with regards to this. And the Australian government in particular has put in sort of like 15% of its GDP, like $350 billion so far. Don't quote me on that, but somewhere in the region of the $300 billion bailout, just to keep things moving and shaking. So don't think for a second that we're on our high horses here and saying that we have it all figured out in terms of the quarantine. We know we're quite lucky that we do enjoy each other's company, and unfortunately as well, part of those bailouts in Australia is very bad numbers for domestic violence. I think it's 1 in 5 women would be affected by it, and they're pumping tens of millions into hundreds of millions into domestic violence support here. So
for during this coronavirus lockdown, because obviously women are being locked down in homes with abusive partners.
Yeah, and that goes for children as well. I think they still have the schools open. I'm sure there's hundreds, if not thousands, of children who'd prefer to be in school. So it isn't all, you know, happy and roses outside our four walls here while we're locked down. But
we're trying not to get totally bogged down in that. So if we ever do feel like any inkling of not feeling, you know, a little bit down or whatever, we kind of try and, it sounds so corny, but be like grateful for what we have, because there's people with it so much worse than us.
Yeah, I came up with the stupid little joke of like, COVID been worse. Foolish little pun just to make light of it. But, you know, you have to have some bit of humor. I wouldn't say positivity, but humor definitely kind of gets you through the tough times, because we're always trying to laugh and joke. It's such a tiny apartment, yet I still might hide behind the door and jump out and say boo. Just stupid stuff like that, especially because we're playing Resident Evil. Even today, I was just behind the door and my shoulder was peeping out. And Maeve knew I was behind the door and I still popped out, and she still got a fright, even though she saw me. So, you know, we're just keeping ourselves occupied. As we said, just to put a cap on that point, like not watching the news because you get all this negativity. I think it's good if you are listening to this podcast and you are locked down, just know like everyone else is going through it. It's very quickly, you can feel yourself, at least speaking for myself personally, like that you are sort of closed off from the world. We're not running out every day meeting friends, but the fact that you have to have very limited interactions with other people, because even just throwing back to Survivor there, one of the contestants who came fourth was saying for the first week when she came back, seeing as there was so many people out in the city and in the supermarket, she was nearly having a panic attack. And just on a wider point of like mental health after this, I think once this all blows over, we won't look at handshakes the same way again, or hugs or anything like that, because it's just so easy to show like how quickly things spread.
Yeah, particularly, you know, where in a lot of European countries where you might like kiss on the cheek and stuff, even for relative strangers, I think you'll definitely see that phasing out with people as they remember kind of the impact of this.
Yeah, because it's unsubstantiated reports here, but Italy had an absolute massive outbreak of the coronavirus, and it's the hotbed of Europe now, but Spain is a close second by the stats that we've been looking.
And France.
So, you know, like the French do the air kisses are the kiss in the cheek. So do the Italians.
So do the Spanish.
Yeah. So
Spaniards.
You know, is it because of that that it's spreading? Like all these family gatherings? Because it looks like weddings and funerals were the absolute hotbeds. And I think before the recent lockdowns here, like weddings were limited to like 5 people. So that was the couple, the 2 witnesses and the celebrant. Because that's what you need, 2 witnesses legally here to see it true. And just in terms of like, I don't know, I saw a stupid joke today. It was like, oh, before I'd cough to cover a fart and now I fart to cover a cough. Because, you know, even if I had an itchy throat, some days I like have a little tickly cough and I'm walking down the street and I'm nearly tears in my eyes trying to like stifle any bit of a cough because I've pretty much
found... People are scared.
Yeah, people are scared because I've definitely found like my trigger now. I never used to get angry or irate, but just people flying in the face of like a public health crisis really gets my back up. Like just some days that we walk out of the elevator and the guy behind us like big massive sneeze and stuff, and if I was in the elevator I think I'd have to turn around and slap him in the face. Like I'm really on the edge of violence here, and I reckon a lot of people else would be, sort of thing. Not that I'd ever act in it, but people definitely are on edge because, you know, we've seen videos of like the supermarkets with people slapping each other, and there's reports of knives being pulled on people for toilet paper and all absolute ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, people are just scared. And even I saw today as well, like Australia is similar to Ireland in that you can't get guns as easily as you can in, say, like America. There's like a lot of limits on your ability to get guns, but you can just like purchase, you can put in an application and then purchase one for different reasons, similar to Ireland, where you can get them for like hunting or home protection if you need them, etc. And they've actually banned applications in Victoria and Queensland because applications have like doubled in the last month compared to comparable years. So people are obviously scared. This is unprecedented. So yeah, like what Richard's saying, like we're just trying to make the best out of a bad situation, but we're well aware that it is a bad situation. Not just for everyone else, but for us as well, because this is unprecedented. While we're happy to be here, we're also stuck here now.
Yeah, well, I suppose just a little for people wondering, why do we stay here and not go back to Ireland? The very obvious answer would be it's better to have a job here than to be unemployed back in Ireland, because no one's getting hired at the moment. And we are in a very fortunate position, as we were saying. Like, we are grateful for what we have. We're both able to work from home and continue on our duties. I know a lot of people can't do that. And, you know, just not to repeat myself, but we are in a good position here. So definitely it helps to have the 9 to 5 filled up. Because I think it was Sunday. I pretty much had to go out for a walk solo because it hasn't happened in years and years. But I just felt as if I was like bouncing off the walls, like I needed to get out and do something. And I was kind of shocked that I could even feel that sort of pent up energy again, because it's been absolute years since that's happened. Just on that, you know, you want to go out at the weekend, you want to go to the pubs, but they've actually all been closed down naturally, stopped the gatherings. So, you know, adapt, outlive, overcome, whatever that phrase is, can't remember. But people have been finding ways, ourselves included, of getting together with friends. So kind of on 2 occasions over the last week or so.
Since this all started.
Yeah, since all this started.
Yeah.
We've had like 2 virtual sessions in with friends, you could say.
Yeah.
And it worked really well. It was actually not dissimilar. It's sort of, what are you missing is only seeing someone in person, but obviously the banter and everything is the same. Yeah,
the chat was the same. It was nice, and it was kind of, like you said, humor is so important. It was nice to just have a laugh and a joke and a couple of drinks with friends or whatever. Because even though it was on your phone, it felt like normal.
Yeah.
Like it didn't feel weird, and it felt like something that we'd normally do. So it was nice to be able to do that.
Yeah, except the funny flip side, and this goes to work conferencing as well, because I know Maeve's office has implemented a Friday drinks, mm-hmm. but there's no excuse now that you can turn around and say, oh, I got to head home because we're all stuck at home.
Yeah, yeah, we are doing virtual drinks now every Friday. And it is, it's so funny because, you know, for those kind of drinks on a Friday, you normally have like probably 50% attendance because people have plans. They might be going away or they have like plans with friends or whatever. But now there's kind of no hiding because you've nowhere else to be. So you kind of have to go. But it's nice. And they are, I find with my office, I think your office is similar as well. They're really trying to make sure people don't end up feeling isolated or make sure that everyone's having regular contact with people on the team, including video calls, so you actually get to see them. But it was actually so funny, my very first day working from home, because I'd been in the office the day beforehand, my team had decided that we do video calls, that we thought that would be a good way of keeping in touch, seeing as we were all going to be working remotely from here on out. And so we all turned on our video the next morning and everyone who was up and like dressed and, you know, looked decent or whatever. But then the half of my team that had been omitted from this conversation because they were already working from home got like such a fright. They were all, you know, hair all over the place, still in their pajamas, probably just like rolled over in bed and turned on the laptop. So that was pretty funny. But yeah, I think it actually does help having the video camera on where you get to see people.
Yeah, because you're having a daily call. I'm having a weekly call with the team. And I sort of just by comparison, I think like my team is definitely suffering a lot more not having the daily contact. But I think it would nearly be too much to do it daily just to be like, hey, how are you? But I would personally think that they need to do it because I've sort of taken on the mantle of responsibility, as we were saying, like to have humor in the day. I just put in like daily dose of humor, sort of like a quarantine meme or something stupid. Just, and people have like messaged me privately to say like, oh yeah, they're like really helping me, like I like getting that dose of humor in the morning. Now I'm fast running out of quarantine memes that aren't repeating themselves, so I'm gonna have to up my game on that. But it's just, you don't know what people need during this time. I always find it very touching when you do something so small and someone's like, oh, thanks for that. And you're like, what are you talking about? And they're like, basically like saying hello to me in the morning sort of thing. So if there's anyone like you can think of maybe that you haven't talked to in a while, I would kind of implore you just to reach out and say, and great openers, how's the quarantine going really?
Yeah, exactly. It's a nice time to be able to check in on people that maybe you haven't, just life gets busy. You haven't had the chance to.
I don't know whether to edit that out now. Maybe this is going to be like moratorium. I'll leave it in, I think.
just life gets busy, so you might not have had the chance to get on to people. Like you said, now is perfect time. How's the quarantine going? How are you finding lockdown?
I think Maeve needs a sip of water, so I'll fill the dead air while she clears her dry throat. Not a dry cough, guys. Don't worry. Not a symptom. No, because I did the same. Like, I've friends all over the earth now at this stage through the podcast and everything, and different traveling for work, etc. But just touching base, how's everything going? Because you don't know what's happening in everyone else's lives. They could know someone who's in hospital, or, you know, we were saying the other day, like, every other illness doesn't actually stop with corona. It's not as if cancer, like, said, hey, I'm going to let corona pop in for 2 months. People still need their treatments. Elective surgeries are all down. I work in a medical device company and they're all sort of sweating because elective surgeries are down now, if not actually illegal, I'm fairly sure, by a federal decree. I was talking with the regulators today as part of work, just trying to explaining to them, like trying to get information from hospitals right now is very, very tough given the current situation. And they were like very sympathetic that I'm like pretty much impeded of doing my job, and they're sort of going to be quite lenient, but of course they'll never actually put that on paper. It was all by call. But so yeah, I reckon just like touch base with people, very easy. Don't know what else, as I said, is going on anyone else's life. I think there hasn't really been much else happening in quarantine now the last couple of days. The days for me definitely, because I've been keeping a diary this year, just like cataloging what I'm doing, but also a few thoughts on things. And I think I sat down Sunday and I had to backfill Thursday evening and Friday, and I was like, what did I do? I can't find anything to differentiate the days besides what I ate. So it's trying to do novel things, like basically like the cooking, as you mentioned, and playing games, and trying not to watch too much Netflix. He only started Ozark season 3, which is quite good, but we don't want to like burn through that either, because
we actually really enjoy that, and we don't want to be watching just like, we don't want to be like surfing Netflix every evening or every 3 evenings looking for something that we're not really that interested in watching. We've actually been waiting for Ozark to come back for like a year and a half, so
pretty much like 3 years, I'd say, at this stage. Two years,
because we watched it when we were traveling.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just we could realistically be staring down the barrel of another 6 to 8 weeks, so we don't want to use up every available option as of yet. So just to tie things around, because I say we could start wrapping up, is just keeping busy, focused on the lifestyle and staying healthy. Definitely, I would encourage, again, everyone just to start getting a routine, get moving. Even if you don't normally do anything, really bodyweight exercise is what we're doing, and I'm getting better workout than I am with weights on top of my shoulders, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's all about just keeping yourself a little bit disciplined, keeping motivated. You know, like you keep yourself motivated for work, and that's for someone else. So try and find something that you can do for yourself, and it will really actually help you, like potentially physically, if that's what you decide to do that you want to be motivated to do. But it'll definitely help you mentally as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You're motivated for someone else in work, and during the quarantine, use this time with your family and everything. Get to know them better. I know some people are tearing each other's hair out, as we touched on, but you know, it's a good opportunity to learn new things. If, you know, I'm doing Duolingo as well, doing a bit of Spanish and Irish, maybe it's just started back those as well. So we're just going to try Cúpla Fuc Las Gaeilge. That's a couple of words in Irish for those non-Irish speakers in the evenings. And I think just keep yourselves busy, learn new skills, keep healthy. And that's pretty much what we've been up to. Any other closing thoughts, Maeve?
If you have like 15 minutes to burn, try naming all the states in America. That's always one that we like to pull out when we're got some spare time.
I know, we always get to 48, 49 and we forget one, and it's always a different one every time. So that's a fun one. But yes, guys, with love from the two of us here down in Sydney, this too shall pass, bit of tongue in cheek there, but you can find
Jesus.
Fucking hell.
It's all over.
This is actually the Corona Death Podcast. So you can find us on the socials, the usuals, at the Bizarrecast, and me personally at the Fear Merchant. Obviously, I haven't really been that busy and haven't had that many podcasts out, but I want to make this a little bit more regular, just to touch base. They won't be as long as this one. This was the first 2 weeks of quarantine, and they're more or less going to be the same for the weeks to come. But let me know your thoughts, how you're getting on, and we will see you in the next episode. That has been Richard and Maeve. See you in the next one.
End of line.